Well, I just keep checking things off my list. In July, I took my first steps. In July, I dug my first hole. In July, I weed-eated my lawn. Last weekend, I rode my motor pickle for the first time. And today, I'm standing here before you. Last week, Tim mentioned about our attention span was approximately 6 seconds or something like that. I don't know. I kind of lost focus. So when I was going to school, we learned how to public speak and put together a speech. And so one of the things that we learned is that you need to have an attention grabber. Well, I have the most perfect attention grabber. You've probably never seen this attention grabber and probably will never see this attention grabber again. It's official. I'm on my last leg. Oh, good. I'm glad you all laughed. I was afraid that there might be something afoot. Just as a sidebar, this thing is awesome because when it sits by my chair, my daughter and my wife trip on it all the time. Who knew? Hashtag worth it. Oh, you need that screen down, don't you? All right, I think that's working. Me and technology don't get along very well. Before I get started with my lesson, Allison and I want to take some time to say thank you. Our journey started in September of 2020 when Allison received a golf ball to her eye and it broke her skull from the top all the way down to her cheek, and she went through several operations. Through that time, you have all been very supportive. Because Allison was showing off and doing better than me, my competitive spirit thought, oh yeah, watch this. So I decided to have some blood clots that couldn't be removed. And what made it better is that my foot started to die. And I needed to have a below-the-knee amputation. And I wanted to say thank you. Alice and I both really want to say thank you for all the kind love that you have shown us. In this picture, we have the children of this congregation drawing me pictures to help cheer me up. And in this picture, you had Ginger, I think, came up with the idea to have everybody sign a banner and put something encouraging up there for me, something to look at. Although it did help while I was in the hospital, I was on some really crazy drugs. And these pictures and this banner really came to help me once I got home. It was very interesting to me how when every health care giver came into the room, they were surprised and they were shocked to see these things hanging. You made an impact on all of my health caregivers and a few of the patients in the VA hospital that would walk by and look in there and stop in and say, wow. So not only do I say thank you for taking care of me, but thank you for shining your light to others. On this banner, there was this signature right here from Betty Warren. I felt like Betty and I had a very strong bond. Ever since I went to college for horticulture, we always wound up talking about perennials. In May, we would talk about peonies. In the spring, we would talk about our bulbs coming up. In the fall, we would talk about all the different colors. It makes me sad that Betty doesn't get to see me now. And then there were funny comments like this one. I'm not really sure who this is from. But to kiss my leg one last time, it made me realize the kind of impact that I've made upon you. And then there's something that I noticed on this banner, and I also noticed in Joshua chapter 1. In Joshua chapter 1, Moses has passed on, and now God is giving Joshua the helm. And there's something that's interesting about this banner in Joshua chapter 1. In verse 6 of chapter 1, it says, be strong and of good courage. In verse 7, it says, only be strong and of very good courage. In verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. And in verse 18, only be strong and of good courage. On the banner, we have four times that you told me to stay strong and be of good courage. This must really be important. If God's going to say the same thing in one chapter, if he's going to repeat himself four different times, that's something that God wants Joshua to know. I feel like God wanted me to know it too, because four times on this banner, it was written, be strong and of good courage. I seen this cartoon and I really like this cartoon. It really describes our life. It kind of describes our expectations. If we want to get to any finish line, we always make it the easiest way that we can. But that's not how God chooses our plan to be. As you can see, this person has to go into a canyon, traverse some rocks, climb out of the canyon, climb up to the edge of another canyon, go down into the water, swim across the water, and not lose focus, climb the other part of the bank or the canyon, and then go down another canyon, get rained on, and then have to climb a ladder to get to the finish line. Our plan does not require strength or courage. But God's plan requires strength and courage. So I thought that my first lesson back should be about being strong and courageous. So we like to go to the Bible to have God define things for us, don't we? So the first thing I'm going to talk to you about is what strength is not. And we find that in 1 Samuel 28. The scene is set with King Saul. Samuel the prophet, who was Saul's liaison to God, is now dead. Saul did a good thing. He banned mediums and sorcerers and all others who dabble in dark spirits out of their camp. And it came to pass that one day the dreaded and fearful Philistines had surrounded Saul. And Saul became afraid. And the Bible says his heart trembled greatly. The Bible tells us that Saul inquired of the Lord, but the Lord did not answer him by dreams or by Urim or by the prophets. So what did Saul do? He did what most anybody would do if they know that they don't have God on their side. He panicked. He panicked and he inquired of a woman who was a medium. The woman that was the medium, when she was approached, she was nervous that Saul was going to play a trick on her and kill her. But Saul pleaded with her. And eventually the woman conjured up Samuel, because that's who Saul really wanted to see. He wanted to get advice from Samuel. But when Samuel came up, he wasn't happy about it. Wasn't happy that he had conjured him up. But Samuel did remind King Saul of why God didn't listen to him. We have to go back to the 15th chapter of 1 Samuel to find out. There were these people called the Amalekites, and God wanted them wiped off the face of the earth. And Saul went to war, but he didn't wipe them off the face of the earth. He was supposed to get rid of all of their livestock, get rid of all of their spoils, but he didn't get rid of all of their spoils. He took it upon himself to bring back King Agag, which would have been their king. He took it upon himself to bring back plunder from the victory. And these things were direct violations of what God wanted. And probably the most narcissistic thing that Saul could have done, he did. He built a monument to honor himself. What did Saul do to fight the Amalekites? He did nothing. God helped him. So why would he want to take the credit? For the point of our lesson today, I want us to recognize something here. Recognize that Saul became terrified. Now, we've all been scared, and it's okay to be scared. But Saul's terrifying event, his scared, was something different. It caused him to do things that were irrational. And when we as humans get too scared, we might do things that are too irrational. We might ignore the problem. We might take matters into our own hands, and by doing so, make mistakes. So let's look at an example of what God considers as strong. We only need to go forward two chapters to chapter 30. And here we find the newly appointed King David. He and his army were out fighting, and they came back home to find that everything they had was burnt to a crisp, and it was destroyed. Not only that, but their families were taken captive by the Amalekites. Take notice here. If Saul had done his job back in chapter 15, why would there be Amalekites today in chapter 30? These Amalekites were really getting to be a pain in the side. This was such a horrible atrocity. The Bible says that David and his men wept until they had no more strength. When was the last time you wept until you had no more strength? I can remember twice, the passing of my father and the passing of my mother. I wept until I had no more strength. David's men became bitter in their soul and spoke of stoning David. They were going to turn on David. How scary! How scary must this have been? But here's the difference between David and Saul. David strengthened himself in the Lord. The story goes on to mention how David inquired of God if he... The story goes on to mention how David inquired of God and if he should chase the Amalekites or not. And of course, God does approve of his action, and David does chase the Amalekites, and David does recover all that was taken from them after a long battle with the Amalekites. They also get their families back. I want to go back to something very interesting here. In the wording that is very interesting and should cause us all to give a little bit of thought about how we handle things that are scary. It says, David strengthened himself in the Lord. I wasn't there. I really don't know how David did this. Did he account all the times that God spared his life? Did he account the times that he fought wildlife? Did he account the times that he meditated on God's goodness? Did he remember the songs that he sang of God's greatness? I'm not really sure how David did it, but what I can tell you is that there are many passages in this Bible that we can look at and remember and strengthen ourselves in the Lord when times are bad for us. Is that big enough? Everybody can read it, because my print's kind of small here. Here are just a few verses that I have looked at that has helped me. You guys are reading ahead, aren't you? We'll get there. Hebrews 13:5. I will never leave you or forsake you. My mind goes back to that cartoon I previously showed you. We would make our plan easy, wouldn't we? If our plan was easy, then why would we need God? Why would we ever need God? God wants us to rely upon Him. That's why He makes things difficult and stressful to go through. Because He doesn't want us to try to solve the problem ourselves. He wants us to go to Him in prayer. Because God has promised He's not going to leave us or forsake us. This is interesting to me. Philippians 4, 6, and 13. Be anxious about nothing, but in everything by prayer with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. We got to make sure that we're going to God and telling Him what we're scared of. Ask for that strength. And remember 13. Nothing's impossible without God. Nothing's impossible with... How did I say that? I'll just read it how the Bible says it. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. With God on our side, how can we possibly fail? And why do we let Satan put that doubt in our brains? Has God ever let you down? I don't think so. God's never let me down. Lamentations 3:22. I go to this all the time, and if I wanted to, you should go there and just read from 22 all to the end of the chapter. It's marvelous. It's good for us all. God's love for us will never cease. And if God loves us, why would He want us to fail? Isaiah 6 and 8. In chapter 6, we have the scene of Isaiah and the seraphims flying around singing, holy, holy, holy. And they're looking for a messenger. They're looking for a messenger. And Isaiah says, here I am. Send me. Here I am. Send me. I think that's the attitude that we need to have. Whatever God puts on our path, or whatever gets put in our path, whatever trials we have, to say, here I am, use me, let me be that example to help someone else. And of course, you all laughed at Kelly 1:1. If Job can do it, why can't I? I have said that to myself so many times. What made Job so special? He was a man just like me. He believed in God just like me. He lost things that were valuable to him. We have all lost things that were valuable to us. If Job can do it, why can't we? I want to move on to how God defines courageous. And I don't think we have to go any further to show a person who embodies courage like Joshua. Did you remember that Joshua was one of the spies that were sent into Canaan? And he came back saying, the land is ours for the taking. When all the other spies were scared. They were scared of the giants. They were scared of the strong cities. They were scared of the fortification of those cities. They were scared of those strong people. Joshua didn't get scared about those things. He showed courage. And he knew that because God was behind them, they could do anything. It's interesting that, and I've missed this several times, it would talk about how God would have meetings with Moses in the tent of meeting. And it mentions that Joshua was there. It also mentions that when Moses left that tent, Joshua stayed behind. What were those conversations? Was God speaking with Joshua and preparing him for this day that Moses would die and now Joshua would have to lead those people? No, These children of Israelites, man, constantly they let fear overtake them. Why didn't they remember all the times that God delivered them out of Egypt, delivered them from being thirsty, delivered them from being hungry? They continued to get scared, and they forgot that God was with them. I want to direct our minds to Revelations 21, starting in verse 6. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of water of life without payment. To the one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. I want us to listen to verse 8. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for the murderers, the sexually immoral, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all the liars, they shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Can this be real? The very first thing that God mentions is the coward? The one who loses courage? I think this shows us how important God feels about us being courageous, knowing that he is behind us. And with his help, we can do anything. We can conquer any fear. I'm going to tell you something that my dad would tell me when I would get scared. He'd say, "Son, it's time to put on your big boy pants. Grab the bull by the horns and get it done." I've had to put on my big boy pants, and I'm grabbing the bull by the horns. And you need to do the same. When it seems like everything is going wrong, my wife would tell the kids to flip it. When things were looking bad for them, they were to flip it and try to look at the other side of whatever it was that was troubling them. We tend to focus on the negative, don't we? But we need to flip it and look for the positive. I have a video I want you to watch. Originally, I was going to have you watch this video four different times, but time is going to negate that. So you're going to have to watch this video very carefully. This is Joe Rogan watching a video from Jocko Willink. And if you don't know who these gentlemen are, Joe Rogan was an MMA fighter. I really like listening to his content. He's very encouraging. Jocko Willink is a decorated United States Navy SEAL, a fearless leader in the time of battle. I like to read his books. I like to listen to his podcasts. I like how this man approaches life. So if everything works well, you guys are going to get a good video.
Video that I 100% legitimately play on. I say good. Listen to this video. You heard this? going to come from. Didn't get the new high-speed gear we wanted? Good.
I like that. I'm trying to adopt that in my life.
Here's a video.
Whoops, hang on. How come it's not going to the next slide? Ha, there we go. Good. Good. I lost my leg. Good. Now I know how to help people when they're going through tough times. The world has lost its moral compass. Good. It's easier for me to shine my light. My body hurts and I don't want to get out of bed. Good. It's time for me to show others how to persevere when in pain. There's always good out of everything bad that happens. I don't want you to take this the wrong way. I want you to take this the right way. They crucified Jesus. Good. Because salvation is free and our sins are forgiven. I want to give you guys courage to go face this week. I want you to listen to what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Gird up the loins of your mind. You need to prepare your mind for the work before you. And next week, you're not going to be in this house. You're going to be in the world. There's going to be something that's going to knock you down. But you need to have courage. You need to stay mentally strong. And you need to remember that God is going to deliver you out of whatever problem you have. I am sorry that I went over my time. I hope that you received this well. We're going to offer a gospel invitation to anyone who has heard the word of God and has decided to be baptized, to become a part of that body, to reap these benefits of having God behind you as we stand and sing our invitation song.